start off here. This was developed 8 years ago, the basic was. I was just doing some Bible study that Roy had going on, and I had to go through to understand that I had to do it and put it in my own words. And so I started drawing. I like to draw, not artistic drawing. I draw drawings that explain relationships to objects and people and places and things. And as we go through this, you'll understand why I do it that way. So I showed it to Roy. Roy said, "That's neat. Why don't you put some text around that?" And so then we developed it from there. And then Roy asked me to present it to y'all 8 years ago. And I kindly just walked away from that. And then a couple of months ago, I revisited for some reason, and I saw that, hey, we could add some more detail to it, and we could add some more text to it. And so we went through it again, through iterations of it, Roy and I did. He says, "Why don't you present that?" So I said, "Okay, I'll do it." It's large enough. So there's the kind of the history around it. And so I'm going to make an attempt at it here. So the concept here in the outlines, we're going to go through four basic parts of it. It's about 8 points to each one. And it's going to be information and time, processes of the soul, how we can apply that. And then it's going to get into some concluding remarks. This presentation is what I call an hourglass presentation. I'm going to start with broad concepts, very simple. We're going to come down to details. Then I'm going to back out one step at a time into broad. So if you look at an hourglass, it's, you know, it goes wide, narrow, and then back broad. So that's how I'm going to do this. And I'm going to back, you'll see me back out of it one step at a time backwards. So information and time. We are bombarded with information in our life. Notice I put people, then internet. Used to be TV, radio. Well, that's kind of changed. The medium we get most of our information today is actually from the internet. It comes through us. You have the opportunity to get information from Bible studies here in church. You can get it at home. It doesn't really matter. It's just all these opportunities. And people. That's one constant we've had through civilization is people. We always had people around us. So this information comes to you whether you want it or not. You're going to get it. So you just need to pay attention to that source because, or not the source, but so much the information. The medium is really not important. I can make an argument with you right now that even Facebook, in its basic, most simplest form, is not evil. It's how you use it, is what it is, and how does it consume you. So, as this information is taken into your soul in time, we store it. Now, we get all kinds of information. So, the choice is are we going to take in the Word of God and spend some time there? Are we going to spend in taking in every football game? Are you going to worship Dale Earnhardt and know everything about him? Or how are you going to spend your time? Because it's a very, very limited time we have. And so you ask the question, well, just how short is our time? And I came up with an analogy. Roy has used one very similar to this. And it's picking up a grain of sand by a bird and carrying it from one side of the coast to the other coast and how long that would take. I took a little different take on that. And my take is that if your life is equal to one grain of sand, let's compare that to all the grains of sand on Earth and see how large and how the size difference is. So a little bit of research, 26 thousandths of a gram is one grain of sand. It takes 174,000 grains to get a pound. And it's up to we get a ton. And so we can take a ton and we can put that in. Six pickup trucks can carry a billion grains of sand. And why did I choose six pickup trucks? There's a real reason for that. In our parking lot, there's normally six pickup trucks. MG has a pickup truck, Milton has a pickup truck. Bob has a pickup truck. I have a pickup truck. Martin has a pickup truck. So it's kind of, we can all kind of understand this. There's six pickup trucks. How much sand you can get in those? Those are half-ton trucks. It just works out mathematically really well. So you can see one grain of sand to a billion. Your lifetime is pretty small in that context. Then you start thinking, and all of y'all smart people, and you're like, well, that's pretty flawed. And I'm going to agree with you, it's a real flawed example. Why? The weight of sand, one, it varies. I know that. And the amount of sand on earth is finite. It can be counted. It can be. Any moment in time, you can count it. It's empirical knowledge. It can be done. There's no doubt about it. Now, another major part of this that's flawed is you can't count eternity. It's infinite. It goes on and on and on. So our time on earth is much shorter than 1/1,000,000th of eternity. Now, if you can't wrap your head around, okay, 1 billion grains of sand, and there's more sand on the earth than this, and you're having a hard time with eternity, because both of us, we're human. We're bound by time, so therefore, it's a hard concept. So here's how you can look at eternity another way. Go out on a starry night where there's no light. This is fun to do with your kid, by the way. I had the privilege of doing this with Jason. And you, the few of you to sit there quietly, no light around, and you look at the stars. It goes forever, folks. Ever. They measure it. No one's ever told me where the end is. And I like trivial information like that. Where's the end of that space when I'm looking out into it? That's easy to kind of grasp. It goes on and on and on. There's just no end to this. Eternity's like that. So it's pretty important that we pay attention to what we're doing. And when I use the word we or you, please understand I'm pointing three fingers back at me. But as Roy said earlier, when you're looking at this and how you're spending time, put a silo around you. This is all about you. This is one of the few times you'll hear me, it's all about you. It's not about somebody else, it's about you. How do you spend your time? And so we better pay attention to what we're doing in time when we're only going to be here less than 1/1,000,000th of eternity. You know, and that's, I already said, that's a flawed example. So that takes us to James 4:14 from the Amplified version. Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears in the thin air. Boy, that's humbling. If you sit there and think about that, me and you, we're really nothing from the time standpoint. It's really no time whatsoever. It's that. Pour a cup of coffee, you'll see the wisp of vapor come up and it's gone, just like that. But keep in mind though, you and I are not insignificant. God does not create us as insignificant things. We're very significant. It's the point here is the time we spend compared to eternity is insignificant. So use it wisely. So now we're going to start getting other things. You're going to start seeing a little bit about me and how I think. Processes of the soul. You have to understand my background. I'm not a pastor teacher. That's not me. Don't claim it's not a gift. None of that. What I am, though, is I am an information technologist. IT. I am not into hardware. That's not what I do. I don't care about the desktop. I do care about how systems and processes and information flows from A to B and making it available for business use. That's what I do. I've spent a lifetime doing it. I wrote my first program at age 16. I wrote my first virus when I was in college. So it got me a job. Don't laugh. That's the reason why I did it. I was trying to get attention of a manager. So the symbols that you see on that diagram, the one in green, I'm using it as a trigger. I know some of y'all have some process background. I know that's not a trigger. Just bear with me. I took a lot of liberties here on drawing this drawing, and it's not correct. From a technical standpoint, it's not. So green, you see the green oval, that's a trigger. A cylinder, that's a database storage. And the diamond's the decision. The rectangle is a process, and then the arrows are showing information flow. Sometimes you'll see arrows with two heads on it. Now, that means they're interacting together, and it's just not information flowing. So when you look at, that's kind of what you're looking at. So the process, as I already said before, we're always in a negative state of pressure. We're always taking information in, regardless if you want it or not, you're taking it in. You're just bombarded by it. Just by waking up, you're taking it in. Then, so every day, we got to make that decision. How are we going to spend some of this very limited time, this 1/1,000,000th of eternity that you have? What are you going to do with it? So you need to take some in, and you're going to do that by expressing positive volition to the Word. And then you got to accept it by faith. Now, if you don't take it in, as I've said before, you're going to still get information via negative volition. But one of the things we get as believers is we get the ability, as we take in more truth, and we study over time, it's the ability to discern from evil and discern the information coming to us and decide what should we do with it. How do we categorize this piece of information? And Hebrews 4:12 here says, and y'all's, by the way, says Hebrews 4:1. That's my fault. I will fix that in there. For the word that God speaks is alive and powerful, making it active, operating, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. So we get that. As we bring in information, we have the ability, and that's one of the top diamond up there, is discern. What information is being presented to me? How do I categorize this? Should I pay attention to it? Or should I, it's something I need to keep because it's spiritual fuel, spiritual knowledge. So it brings it in and we store it. And you see on the diagram, you see multiple database symbols in there. So we're putting this information somewhere for future use. And now also, there's the old sinful nature. The old sin nature is, something we get at birth. But it's what we call in the information world, it's a demon process. And we actually call them that. They're demons. Why? They will not go away. It's when a process loads up in memory of the computer, and it's running and interacting. And guess what? You can't kill it. Only the system administrator who knows the process ID can kill it. Well, guess who the system administrator is in this world? It's God, Holy Spirit. It's the only person that can handle that. So that's why you see a drawing there, and I say that it's always interacting. Then, to advance in life, so we got to take this Word of God in. We got to be perceptive to it over time. And then as it comes in, it's going to build capacity for life. And that's going to move us up to the echo zone, believer, into the peak. So what do you do? You got to mix this with faith, because faith, we're not always going to understand exactly what you hear. Roy says it's 7 times for you to get it. Well, for me, it's going to take a lot more than 7 times, and probably other people too, to really understand it. And that's the gnosis. Gnosis to epinosis. So the Word of God must be mixed with faith in Hebrews 4:2. For indeed we have had the glad tidings, gospel of God proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. With the leaning of the entire personality on God, in absolute trust and confidence in His power and wisdom and goodness by those who have heard it. So we have to have faith that what we're hearing, even though we don't understand it, it is the correct truth and it's right. There will be a time that you will understand it, and I'll understand it better. Roy constantly says that in his message. He doesn't say it in those words, but he says it. He goes, hey, I've just realized something after 40 years, 50 years of doing this. I just got this new point. It wasn't like he was first awakened, just read the new point. It's because he's read it over and over and over, and other pieces of information that are related together, it all lines up, and the light goes off. And that's what's going to happen to us too. So how do we develop this faith? You get the faith by hearing, okay? You have the opportunity to hear it, and you already have the faith process, but it develops by hearing the Word over and over. So here again, Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. So it's by his word of God, his word. That's how you develop faith. So over time, we take in the word of God. And then, as we get the spiritual fuel gets loaded, or the information in my world gets put up in the database, and we store more information in the database, it has the ability to start removing the evil scars in the soul that develop. Roy uses the term greater. He uses that example. My example is that, well, we get enough information, this process kicks in, it goes over here, starts deleting rows. Because then, like I said, all my world, mine is information. Everything is that way. So it starts pulling that information and those scars out, the scars of regret, you know, guilt, all those things that happen to us over life, because we took some action that probably wasn't the best action to take in the first place. So the soul, these processes, and I used the term earlier, I said integrated, because it's a set of processes that act independently, yet they transfer information and they interact with each other. You know, and that's why it's integrated. But they do it in real time. Real time meaning you're taking information in and you're making decisions. It happens just like this. Right now I'm talking to you, I'm snapping my fingers. It's all real time. So if someone says something to you, you're probably going to react to it. You bring it in, you hear it, you process it, you run it through a set of logic processes and decision trees within your body and your mind, your soul, and then you make a decision on what you're going to do, and you do it instantly. A real good example of this is the space shuttle systems. In 1985, in August, I was sitting in Zachary Hall on Texas A&M's campus, and was taking a programming course, and the professor came out and said, the most complicated system ever developed was the space shuttle systems. You got to understand, and today it probably still is the most complicated with all the great things we have going. You have to understand that not only is there computers on board there, there's computers that are talking in Johnson Space Center in Houston, they're in Alabama, they're in Florida, there's alternative landing sites, other parts of the globe. All this stuff is working together. And it's working, taking in information, making decisions. And I just read the other day more about this. They actually start the engines on the space shuttle in backwards sequence. Engine 3 starts, engine 2 starts, engine 1 starts. They start at about 60 milliseconds apart. It's timed to that degree of accuracy. You and I can't see it with our naked eyes, but they actually do it that way. See, what happens is that real-time system brings the data in, and it starts starting all these engines up. It has 160 milliseconds from the first start of engine 1 to make the decision if they're going to make the launch or not. 160 seconds. It has to abort the launch. And if y'all have all seen this in news, anything around the space shuttle that goes wrong is catastrophic. You will not survive it. And so that's an attempt to control it. That's a real-time system. Our soul is just like that. We're constantly bringing in information. We're making decisions. Then we make action. You know, Mike works with supervisory control and process systems all the time. Exact same thing in the refineries, chem plants. One y'all use every day, and I use every day, is the gasoline pump. That's a real-time system. You card in, it determines who you are, it activates which pump depending upon what you choose. It has safety systems that cut off if you have overflow. Then it creates a bill of lading, which is the little information that says how much you bought, if it's going to charge you, it hits your account with it. That's something we use all the time. So, but even though the space shuttle is probably the most complicated system ever developed by man, I will argue the soul is more complicated, and it's faster and better in making. Because who created us? Remember, keep that in mind, who the creator is. So what we've done so far is we've talked a lot about the discerner up top, and you see information coming down. IF always means for in fellowship, asking you, are you in fellowship? Then we have the grace system of comprehension comes in, information's coming down for spiritual fuel. We mix it with faith, get enough of that. We can get the scar removal process to kick in, start pulling data out of the scar removal database. Then you have the ability to come in on the left side of it. If it's evil, the discerner says, well, this is evil, so what do I do with it? Throws it over to the garbage can. And then, but it hangs around, right? Thank goodness we also have the ability about being saved that the garbage collection process kicks off. The garbage collection process, that's actually a real name, folks. Memory is allocated in a computer and used. When the memory no longer, there's information, when the memory addresses have information in it, yet there's not a program referencing it, this process kicks off and it pulls out that memory and recycles it, makes it available for more. If we didn't do that as Christians, we would have a lot of garbage collected us. But we have the gift that it pulls this information and gets rid of it and throws it away. If not, every evil thing that you came across in just probably one day, I don't think we could handle it. We would probably, you know, it's just, you have that ability. That is probably one of the neatest gifts we have, is the ability to discern something. And then at the same time, the soul can get rid of it. It just kind of washes it away and goes on. You don't hang around on it. Notice on my drawing, I put the OSN in orange, and that wasn't by mistake. Some of y'all didn't get that. Yes. That's close to burnt orange. I looked for the color for a moment, but I got too lazy and said, I'm going to do that. It's pretty predominant. And notice how the lines are on it. It goes up to the discerner. It has interaction with it. And it also has interaction whether you're going to decide to utilize the Word of God or not. It has both. So it's constantly there when I go get rid of it. So we go to apply this, and it's kind of going to start talking on the bottom part of that diagram a little more. So having the knowledge of this, it's technical, okay? But how are you going to apply it? If you had this technical knowledge and you never applied it, you're probably going to fail. It's easy to read a book and think you understand it. But being able to apply it is another thing. My example here is woodworking and routing. A router is a pretty simple tool. If you ever look at one, it spins a bit around 15,000 RPM. You're running against a piece of wood. It cuts. It's beautiful. It works. That's all I thought a router would do. It was great. I got one. I destroyed a lot of wood trying to learn how to use it. Now, it's difficult because if you look right over here, I found it the other day. Here it is. Right here. There's actually a mistake in this over here. As perfect as this is, the person who made this made a mistake. They most likely fed the router at a rate of speed too fast for this wood. And that was an application error. So as we go through this in life with trying to apply the Word of God, we're going to make mistakes. That's okay. We're going to make them, get over them. If it's a sin, apply 1 John 1:9, get on with life. Do not hang around it. You'll get better, but you've got to try to apply it. It will be difficult. So we have to choose and use your own volition. That's another things we get is volition. And over time, moment by moment, you got to do it. So what do we do and how we choose to spend this time? Then we make the decision. I don't have the drawing up anymore. And you make a decision, you're going to apply something. Whatever is in your soul is going to come out. We've seen it over and over. I've seen it myself, I'm out of fellowship. Boy, you better watch out. You've been on the bad side of me. It can be pretty bad. It can get bad quick. But what am I doing? I'm drawing from the evil database. It's processing through there, and out it comes. Pretty simple, folks. It's not complicated. That's how it works. So, part I did leave off a minute ago was on those actions. Look on the diagram for a moment, and you'll see other action. And because some of you have got to be saying by now, well, Pat, what about empirical knowledge? What about the sciences, calculus, physical sciences, biology, all those things like that? Well, that's not necessarily spiritual fuel. What are you going to do with it? How can you categorize that? Well, the answer for that is this. Is the person a believer? Are they in fellowship? And how do they apply that knowledge? That is kind of where it falls into right there. Now, there's my other note card over here. So some of the things that might fall in that is look at the laws of divine establishment. Family, marriage, nationalism, volition. Hey, you can be unsaved and just nail those. But it is what in the end, though, you know, being out of fellowship doesn't make it any better. It's still not going to pass at, you know, the judgment seat of Christ. Go look at 1 Corinthians 3:11-16. You know, it's still things that are going to burn up in time. You know, time there. So what about non-believers? What do they get? Well, they get the great white throne judgment. You know, that won't be pleasant. So, make sure I didn't miss anything there. Okay, now we're being slow. So, if you do, you're a Christian, you're in fellowship, you decide to go off and do the right thing, but there's nothing there in the database. You get the old famous thing that says, search results. Sorry, nothing found. You've all seen it on Google, Yahoo, whatever. Well, what are you going to do? Some people are going to go into a panic. They will. They'll panic. Some are going to search ranchers that just, they're not, you know, they're going to go from one religious experience to the next one to the next one. They may go into substance abuse or something else. But we've all been there. And from a standpoint, we've had experiences like that. Now, so Ephesians 4:22-24 tells us this. And put on the new nature that regenerates the regenerate self, created in God's image and likeness, God-like, in true righteousness and holiness. So that's what we're supposed to be doing here, folks. Again, that's just bringing information and processing it. Now the conclusion, let's back out one step by step here. God's omniscient. Okay, that's as simple as that. Now, he knows everything in the content of our soul. Everything he knows. I mean, we may be fooling each other, but we're not fooling God. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his appearance or at the height of his stature, for I have rejected him. For the Lord sees, not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." God knows our cardia. He knows the mentality of our soul. Look what it says in Psalms 44:21. Would not God discover this, for he knows the secrets of our heart? So what we put in over time, he knows about. Okay. Then we have to apply it. We've already mentioned. But to apply it, what do you first have to do? You got to spend time in study and getting it in. And it, you know, applying the faith, all that's, by applying the faith to it so we can understand it over time. And so the soul's eternal. I heard something really good the other day. I forgot which preacher said it. But you know, our body's given to us. It's not our body. It's on loan. And the soul, which we have, which we are, you know, that it's going to carry everything in time over, you know, as we, moment by moment, we're dying, but that's what's going to be carried over. It's just the content and what you've spent time in. That's what's going. Nothing else. I got 3 or 4 Bibles. Lots of notes in them. Matter of fact, Roy, I know what you're going to say before you say it because I've already quoted you in my Bible. I mean, you call it to a verse. It's funny. You actually use the same words a lot of times. but, you know, I'm not going to take that with me. Either I know it or I don't. It's cut and dry. So, when we die, like I said before, that's what we're going to take with us. But before, you know, you can even get all these gifts, what do you got to be? You got to be saved. So when you're saved, you get the gift of the discerner. You get the grace system of comprehension. You get the capacity for life. The ability to apply knowledge with lasting effects. You know, works of the flesh, divine works. That's where I can promise you there's a few tile back in that back room. They're going to burn up. A few of them are hanging around. So it's going to be a pretty spotted floor. You know, so was I in fellowship or not, you know, at that time? So going back to the diagram. So this is where we talk about the utilization application. We have life events. And what's the life event? We always like to think of negative things. I'll differ with you on that a little bit. Recently in the news, the NFL has made a lot of bad press. There's the people who have had what we would deem to be great blessings. They haven't handled them well. And then things happen in their life, and that life event occurs. So they got promotion. But what did they have to utilize? They didn't have anything. And really, they had no fuel to make good decisions. And it just went south on them, and it just went south bad. So life events could be tragedy. It could be the person walking up to you at work that you don't like. We've all had that. How are you going to react to that person? And when they say something to you, or they know that person at work, it knows how to push that button. And by the way, that person may be your wife or your husband. He knows you. He knows how to push it. So how are we going to react, right? And it's the way it is. So that's what coming down here, all this application, evil, other action, that's what I was talking about. On the other action, what kind of knowledge and fuel is or can you have? Panic or Christian action? Now, hopefully you've asked the question now, what does the purple mean? Why purple? Well, purple is also a sign of royalty, right? The believer gets everything in purple. At the moment of the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, you get this. You get these processes. You get all this ability. Now, it's not loaded with information, right? Because you haven't spent time in study. It's called having an empty database, by the way. It is. And it runs really fast because there's no data to chew through. That's what we get, though. But as an unbeliever, if I redraw this drawing for an unbeliever, it's really pretty simple. It's just a straight down path. You know, you get information. It's stored somewhere. There's not multiple databases. It's a real simple process because they don't have these. So the quality and quantity of information allows the integrated processes of the soul to function. Think about that. Quality and quantity. The quality is Word of God. The quantity is how much Word of God do you have. That's what's going to determine it. So So the other part of this is without salvation, the soul is a very limited system that is only good for survival and time. That's it. Survival and time. That's all you're going to get out of it without salvation. So the conclusion here, if you're really going to live life, you got to be saved. So we backed out. So here it is. That's the salvation call right there, message for salvation. So we'll end right here with a quick prayer, and we'll go home. Dear Father, thank you for this time that we had together. Thank you for these processes, the soul, all the gifts you've given us. You've given us the discerner. You've given us the grace system of comprehension. You've given us your Word of God. It's just up to us to use the volition that you've given us as created beings to utilize this Word and spend time in it. Father, is there anybody right now listening to this message that is not saved? We just pray that they'll accept the invitation that Jesus Christ has there for them to be saved and believe on Him in His name and accept that offer of salvation. Just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.